All right, Mike. Now we're going northbound
to beautiful Edison, New Jersey. Beautiful.
All the way up to New Jersey, Plainfield Country Club. Director of golf up there at Plainfield, Mr. Scott Parrish. Welcome into the golf shop.
Thanks for having me, gentlemen. How are you guys doing tonight?
Man, doing awesome. I got to ask you, though. Last time the tournament was there, it was very strange. Actually, I was giggling because I saw Jason Sobel tweeted something out the other day that said, last time I was here, there was an earthquake and a hurricane. So hopefully it's a little bit different this time.
Yeah, that's an accurate message he sent out. It had an eerie feel the whole week last time. I don't know how long it's been since they canceled the Sunday's final round on Friday on tour, but I know it's been a long time, but that's what happened here in 2011.
And so we're looking, just to be fun, I checked the forecast. It's better than it was then.
It was hard not to be.
Yeah, what's the over-under on how many times I've checked my Weather Channel app? I can tell you it's a big number.
Every 5 minutes, basically?
I've stopped looking. Fingers crossed, it is a very good forecast. So hopefully that's what we get.
Well, you know, the second named storm of the season has started, and it's going to head towards Florida, but it's not getting to Florida maybe till like Sunday impact. So, you know, you've got nothing to worry about. So that's the good news. The other thing, though, is even though it was only 54 holes last time, Dustin Johnson was 19 under par. That's getting after it.
Yep. They, the things that this golf course needs to protect scoring are really firmness and green speeds, and we didn't have any of that. It was soft and it was slow, so the fairways played wider than they were, and you could recover from places that you normally could not recover from. And then they had lift clean in place, and they're by far the best, most talented players in the world. So you give them those conditions with their skill, they're going to shoot great scores.
So, you know, for our listeners who maybe don't really remember the layout of the course or how it played then, and the fact that, like you're saying now, it's obviously going to be, the conditions are very different. Is it a very typical Ross design? Is it, you know, what can we expect to see?
My prediction is you're going to see volatile scoring. There are holes you can get after it, especially with certain hole locations where things will kind of funnel towards certain spots. And then there's spots on greens and that are very severe. If you get it in the rough and you're coming from the wrong place, very difficult to recover. So I think you're gonna see guys get on little runs and make some birdies and get it under. And then I think you're gonna see situations where they struggle in stretches too, which makes it really exciting for the spectator.
Well, therein lies my next question. I'm not as into pristine golf and pristine conditions as I am carnage. So when I'm watching on TV this weekend, where can I expect to see the carnage?
As far as which holes?
Yeah, what holes should I be looking for?
So the tougher holes, I would think, will be 2, 5, 8 on the front nine. On the back nine, I'll tell you a place that's really interesting. You could see carnage, and you could see some really good scoring. Our 11th hole is one of the shortest par threes they'll play the whole year.
Ooh.
But there's a false front. It's kind of like a saddle-shaped green. You're going to see twos. You're going to see fours. You're going to see guys hit a good-looking shot that spins off the front. You're going to see guys occasionally go over the green and not be able to get up and down. Holes you'd struggle with on the back nine would probably be our 14th, which is a difficult, longer par three. And 17's tough. It's a difficult tee shot. You got to be in the fairway. So, you know, that's kind of a snapshot of some of the things you see. And 18 is honestly a wild card because they'll make it reachable, a reachable par four, on at least two of the days. And we don't play it like that. So I can't even tell you what's going to happen there, but it should be really exciting. Yeah.
Again, we're talking with the director of golf at Plainfield Country Club, Scott Parrish. And, Scott, what kind of player can we look forward to? I mean, Hunter Mahan's the defending champion, not at this golf course. Dustin Johnson is the defending champion of this event at this golf course back in 2011. Are we looking at the guys? I'm sitting here. I got the stats up because I'm more of a stats geek than Mike is. I'm looking at total driving. I'm looking at guys that hit it long and straight. I'm looking at Henrik Stenson, Keegan Bradley, Justin Rose, Graham DeLette, Hideki Matsuyama, these kind of guys. Are those the guys that we need to look for?
Yeah, I do. I think they're going to be the straighter hitters, is my opinion. I think they're going to have trouble if they're in the rough, especially if we get the firmness it looks like we're going to get. So I think you're going to see the really good ball strikers, the guys that are kind of strategize their way around golf courses. I'm not surprised to hear you say Justin Rose, the way he strategized his way around Marion when he won the U.S. Open. Mm-hmm. Zach Johnson, obviously you got to do that. It's different, but there's some similarities playing at St. Andrews with the ball bouncing and, you know, managing what the ball is going to do on the ground. So I think, you know, it's going to be the guy that really has a well-executed strategy and understands the angles you got to come in from and for a lot of these old locations. And they're going to have to hit it straight this week. So it'll be interesting.
Well, and so as the guy that runs the show up there week in, week out, day in, day out with your members and everybody else running around, what kind of a score is ideal for you as the director of golf there to kind of, you know, it's a symbol of how good these guys are. It's also, you know, a way of defining how tough the course is. What kind of a four-day score are you looking for?
This will sound like a line, but I honestly don't have a number. What I personally, and I don't think our members would, and really the golf fans don't want to see, what we had last time was there was a bit of frustration because the genius of the architecture of this golf course really didn't get showcased. Mm-hmm. And the person that did miss on the wrong side or did drive it in the rough was able to recover. And, you know, not to take anything away from Dustin Johnson, man, did he play incredibly well to win 4 years ago. But, you know, we just want to see a very fair yet stern test that is also a great experience for the spectators. And I truly believe that the conditions and the forecast we have are going to provide for that.
All right. And speaking of the membership there, are they excited to announce this week? They announced some more of the rotation for this particular tournament coming back in 2020. You know, a lot of times you hear at golf courses that when they host a PGA Tour event year after year, the members, they're kind of divided. Some like it, you know, they like the prestige of having a PGA Tour event there. Others are, you know, are like, I'd rather play my golf course in, you know, this time of year or whatever. You know, every 5 years seems to be some, you know, a nice happy medium there.
Yeah, it's really perfect. I commend the tour for coming up with this rotation concept, and you know, and they're doing it with the BMW as well. But you know, when you go to seasonal environments where, you know, obviously our season is, it's really 7 months, and you're impacted for several of those months, there's no question there's some inconveniences. So if this were to happen every year or every other year, it would be so much to swallow for any club that's in the northern part of the country. I personally, and I think the majority of the members, really feel good about this 4 or 5 year rotation, and it provides for some excitement to go to these other wonderful venues. I mean, obviously Bethpage next year, and we were at Ridgewood last year, and Liberty's going to be in the mix as well. It's really cool for the players and the fans to kind of keep mixing it up. So it keeps it fresh. It gives the host site a little time to catch their breath and get their place back on a regular basis for 3 or 4 years in between, and it just works perfect for us. So and the tours, an incredible partner. They're really fantastic to work with. So they lessen that burden that a host venue could feel. They really do a great job. And you know, when the show leaves town, boy, they do an incredible job putting the place back together. So, yeah. You know, 3-4 weeks after the event, you really don't even feel it. So anyway, that's kind of a long-winded answer to your question.
Well, but I imagine you and your members were watching, you know, the Wyndham pretty closely this past weekend to see what would happen. I mean, there were so many storylines that could affect your field. I mean, you had 3 guys get into the field, into the playoffs, who weren't going to otherwise get there, and that's not happened before. You had the Tiger part of things happening. I mean, did this thing, was there drama around there all weekend about who would show up, especially, you know, maybe Tiger goes out and wins at the Wyndham?
Are you asking, did anybody pay attention if Tiger was going to win?
I'm asking how exciting it was to watch knowing you were next on the calendar.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, I think it's great that the tour's come up with this playoff and people understand it more and more every year. And, you know, the media does a great job of kind of educating us who's close and who's going to drop out and who's going to get in. And, you know, Tiger adds a whole other element to it. Tiger wasn't here in 11 either, so it would have been, I'm sure, a very different experience whether if he were to somehow get here. But to have Davis Love win down there, amazing story. I just saw him right before I walked in to answer your call You just told him how glad we were to have him back, and he seemed to be really genuinely pleased to be here too. So, yeah, it was exciting. It's really cool, this whole playoff thing, watching guys go up and down the rankings.
Well, yeah, you know, we talked about guys that are hitting in the fairway, the accuracy part of things, but, you know, when it comes right down to it, it seems like most PGA Tour events, whether it's a major or any other event or a playoff event, it comes down to putting. What kind of green speeds are we going to see up there this week? Last week, Bermuda greens, I mean, absolute lightning in Greensboro.
Yeah, it sounds like 12-ish is the number. You can't go too much faster with the severity of the green complexes. And obviously, Mother Nature affects these things. If things were to get humid, it's tougher to keep speeds up. But that sounds like the number. You know, that obviously, these guys are experts. They've got to put together a set of four hole locations. And when green speeds get too high on greens that have a lot of slope to them, you lose hole locations. So it sounds like 12 is the number. You get some pretty severe breaks because of the way Ross designed these greens. Putting is going to be really important. You're really going to have to understand how much ball is breaking and have great distance control.
All right, Scott, I'm looking at your bio here, and it's incredible. You were a ski instructor. You went to Bucknell. You've done all this incredible teaching. I'm going to take you away from this preparation for this event and more into sort of your everyday role as a golf coach. I've got this friend. And my friend, when he stands over the ball at address, he has a problem with competing voices in his head. And one of the voices is Margaret Thatcher. Another is Thomas Jefferson. And the third is a seal. I don't know if you've ever faced this, and I'm sure your expertise will come in handy. My friend's concern is that he finds himself listening most to the seal. How would you help him deal with that?
I'd get a hold of Rotella's phone number. Sounds like he's got to get a hold of Bob Rotella or someone, an expert in that field. I've never faced that challenge.
Nobody seems to be able to help Mike. I mean, Mike's friend. There is no helping Mike.
My friend says the seal makes the most sense. I don't know why.
But yeah, I'd probably go seal, and it would work at times.
Yeah.
I'd sign up for partner events only. You're going to need a partner to lean on with any of those mindsets.
He needs to focus on captain choice events where there's three other guys to pick up the slack.
Yeah, that's really good advice for my friend.
Yeah, that's really very good advice.
Yeah.
Well, Scott, man, we appreciate you coming on. We look forward to a great event up there this week, and hopefully things play out as you as expect, and the golf course represents as we know it will.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Keep the dry, low humidity weather coming our way, and it should be a really exciting week. Thanks so much.
All right, good stuff. Thanks a lot, man.